What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced, from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 313. My name is Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram, T-U-R-N-E-R-S-P-A-R-K-S. Please follow me, everybody. I put out new stand-up videos all the time. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America on all social media platforms, Kaplan NYC. If you want to get some real estate in the New York City area, Kaplan on the podcast today. We have our friend, the great Narek Margaryan, coming back from Armenia, the man who famously put us to number one years ago, the man we made. We went to number one. We made T-shirts saying we went to number one in Armenia. Those were a very popular item. And we love our friends in Armenia. So we have him coming on in just a minute. Great stand-up comedian. You've seen him on the Conan O'Brien show. He performs around the world doing stand-up. I believe Anthony Bourdain possibly met with him when he went there years ago. He's the man to know. When you go to Armenia, you want to meet Narek. And he's been great to our show. And we're going to be talking about the Azerbaijan went in to the disputed land. Artsakh is what Narek and the Armenians would call it. Nagorno-Karabakh.
It's harder to say the Azerbaijan version. So let's just.
Anyway, whatever they call it, it's a disputed land. A few weeks back, Azerbaijan went in and took it. And we're going to get the whole backstory on that, on why it happened, what's going to happen next with Narek in just a minute. But Kaplan, before that, there's things obviously going on in Israel right now. And everyone has been emailing me this week, calling me, texting me, asking me about you and your family in Israel and if they're OK. So I just wanted to give you the floor first and give us an update on how your family's doing right now in Israel.
Yeah, thank you. I might not be as funny as usual this episode. I'm going to try, but I'm a little shook from the weekend. It's been rough. But my brother is there in Jerusalem. He's OK. In Jerusalem, I don't think they receive as many rockets. It's the one good thing about being near all the, you know, the Holy Land for all people. But they do receive rockets. They have had sirens. They do not have a bomb shelter there, so it's a little bit scary. And then I have cousins in Tel Aviv who, you know, they've been spending a lot of times in bomb shelters the past few days. And then I know people locally in Long Island City. I know Israeli shipping off. They get called. They get the call from the reserves, and they're off to, you know, they're going back to fight. So it's a crazy situation all around.
It is, and there are there's rallies, I guess. Is there a rally? I mean, this is coming out October 10th, which is today. So by the time you hear this, there will have been a rally in New York City, right?
There's a rally, yeah, today, I believe, in New York City. But there's going to be more, you know, we're going to host a rally in Long Island City, hopefully. So
yes.
Stay tuned for our social media. I'm hoping October 11th.
October 11th.
6 o'clock, but it's...
Oh, really? Wait, so you're putting a rally
together tomorrow. October 12th, actually. Sorry, Thursday. So that's the goal, 6 p.m. But I will stay tuned social media, Captain America. I will release all the... I will let you know there.
And you're putting this rally together?
Me and some of my friends, some of my Zionist friends, we're gonna hold a rally. We're gonna make sure any local politicians who don't come, we're gonna dox them. So it's gonna be a
good.
This is gonna be an important rally. Hopefully, I get James involved to have some fun with it. But yeah,
yes, so, I will be there as well. October 12th,
Turner will be there. Wow,
I will 100% be there. All right,
we got
well,
a commitment. All right.
Happy that your brother and his family are safe, and prayers for them and the rest of your family.
Thank you.
In Israel. And okay. So, and if you want to support our show, everybody go to patreon.com/lostinamerica for $5 a month. You get Cap and I doing our comedy podcast, which delves into a life podcast. It might, as Cap said, it might not be as funny this week, but we'll be getting into all of the details of what's going on. And hopefully we'll be getting, Maybe Dan over there in Israel, or somebody on
Dan
the show,
Pomerantz, yeah.
Dan Pomerantz,
oh, yeah.
Somebody on soon to update us what's going on with them on the ground. But that's how you do it. Patreon.com/lostinamerica for $5. You get the show, the extra show. $10. You get the number one in our media T-shirt. We will send it to you. We still have those shirts. And for $20 a month, you get our own ad, your own ad on this show. So. All right, let's talk about today's episode, Kaplan. We have Narek here. What do you know about this? All went down a few weeks ago. It seemed to go down kind of overnight with this whole thing of Azerbaijan taking over Artsakh, the disputed land previously part of.
Yeah, it seemed to happen really fast. Like I send you, like they went back in Azerbaijan. We saw the thing about fighting, and then all of a sudden, next you know, I heard there's a ceasefire, and Armenia. People were fleeing from Armenia. Armenians were fleeing to go back to Armenia. Over 100,000 were displaced. And I don't know, you know, Russia has been a big mediator over there. And I think they've got their hands a little bit tied up in Ukraine. So they weren't able to play much of a help.
A little bit like. Tied up in Ukraine is a great way to put it.
Yeah. Sorry.
They're a little tied up. Their hands are full right now. So yeah, so it's this land and everyone go back and listen to previous episodes. We've talked about this land, but it's this land that is, if you look at a map, it looks like just from the map, it looks like it's in Azerbaijan, but the population of people who live there is basically 100% Armenian people. And it was
ethnic Armenians.
Split up in 1991 after the fall of the Soviet Union. Russia just came in seemingly and did a quick mediation. And when you get that, you get that. And all these Armenian people were now stuck in this kind of no man's land for them. They've been there since 91.
Yeah.
Now, as of late September, they're out. And I don't know what's going to happen next. So welcome to the show, Narek Margaryan, joining us from Armenia. And welcome back. How did we do on that recap? And how are you doing, sir?
Hey, nice to meet you again, guys.
Yeah, good to see you.
I wanted to wear the T-shirts with you guys being number one in Armenia.
Yeah.
It came a little tight, but somewhere up until September, I was thin enough to fit into it.
It's aspirational. We're trying to get you some weight.
I just finished Berlin Marathon. That's when my physique was at its peak. Wow. And I would totally fit into it. But after that, I've been eating like crazy and I don't fit anymore. Now to the serious stuff. It's been actually a devastating month, as I'm sure it is for you because you have family in Israel. Actually, it didn't come as a surprise in contrast to what's happening in Israel, because for weeks we've seen Azerbaijan aggregating and combining forces around the border and getting ready for an assault. And every expert, every non-expert was talking about this, but the Armenian authorities were doing nothing about it. The Artsakh authorities, they have been starving for 10 months. There was a 10-month blockade caused by Azerbaijan, where literally no food was going into Artsakh. So Artsakh is the other name for Nagorno-Karabakh. So people in Artsakh were basically surviving with whatever ratios they had, and some agricultural stuff, which wasn't enough for everyone. And most of it even couldn't be used, because imagine all the fields being in range of Azerbaijan's fire. So you couldn't really farm, and nothing was coming in for 10 months. So this starved army starved for 10 months, was attacked on September 19, and they still somehow, unimaginably, fought back very bravely. But at some point, it had to be stopped. And when people realized that basically their leadership surrendered, they had nothing to do but run as fast as they could, move to Armenia, because they've witnessed the horrors of what Azerbaijan was for decades. And just 3 years ago, when we had the 2020 war, it wasn't just like the war in the classical sense. It was usage of banned munitions. It was beheadings, like literal beheadings, cruelties. There was one woman sniper whose fingers they cut off. They cut off her index finger, which she used as a sniper, and stuck it in a certain place. So this is the level of cruelty of these people. So naturally, everyone in Artsakh had no alternative. The Russian peacekeepers were not providing them any security. The Armenian military forces were not providing them any security, because it was the political decision of current leadership, who said, well, we don't want to involve in the war. So, we took the refugees. Over 100,000 people are now here. They're being relocated among the different parts of Armenia. This is so, and sort of everyone's anger and frustration, it got stopped by this urgent need to find shelter, food, clothes for these people. Sort of all the protests, all the people who would normally protest, is they are the most involved in helping the refugees, finding shelter for them, and sort of their energy goes in that direction, and no real protests are happening. That they did happen for a few days right when that happened, and now everyone just too busy helping refugees from Artsakh. And coming back to what you said earlier, that most maps would put Artsakh in Azerbaijan's territory. Yes, indeed, that's the case. But that's the case because Azerbaijan never recognized, sort of, remember this big giant machine that the Soviet Union was? It had 15 other states. And Artsakh or Nagorno-Karabakh was not a separate state. It was an autonomous region within the territory of Artsakh. But when Soviet Union started to collapse, all these countries started seceding, like, you know, Latvia, Armenia, Georgia, all the other countries started seceding, and Artsakh was actually seceded sooner than Armenia or Azerbaijan did. They had a very open vote and a referendum, and they decided that they can go live separately. And the constitution of the Soviet Union, it may come as a surprise to some, but Soviet Union had a very reasonably democratic constitution with laws being very clear about it. And the law said that if a country secedes from the Soviet Union, all the autonomous regions in this country have the right to secede themselves. So what Artsakh did was 100% within the framework of what the legislative system in the Soviet Union was. So they did it before us, before Azerbaijan, and everything was legal, but Azerbaijan was never recognizing it. And Armenia did not recognize it too, because the intent always was to solve this with the negotiations. And this so-called Minsk group was created with the chairmanship of United States, Russia, and France. And they were handling all the negotiations with between Armenia and Azerbaijan. And it all, was always the intention and the case to solve this peacefully, and to solve it based on the right of the people for self-determination. You've heard about it in Kosovo, in other instances, but when you have a situation when 120,000 people live on a territory which is disputed, or somehow somebody has a claim for that, this is a very important human right, the right for self-determination. And now, basically, with this blockade, with the inaction of the Russian peacekeepers, with the inaction of the international community, who was numbingly silent, only coming up with "we are very concerned," and always doing this thing that drives me crazy, this both-sidist. It has a term now, both-sidism, saying that both sides should refrain from doing that, never addressing the issue directly, never saying, okay, you fired this grenade or this missile, just always in any situation talking to the both side in this most generic terms. So with all this neutrality led to the fact that now this over 100,000 people are displaced from their homes. Whatever they had is now left there for Azerbaijanis to come and take over. And basically, people are left with nothing. And I don't know what's going to happen, really. I don't think this isn't anything that happened in history before. We have nothing to compare, no precedents, nothing to compare it with. This is just a situation of its own.
Yeah. What? So just to give our audience just a refresher, the land of Artsakh is pretty big. It's a pretty big size land, but the connection it had to Armenia was really just one road, right?
That was after the war, because before the war, there were seven other regions before this, so it was a very safe connection. But after the war, sort of the two regions connecting it were given back to Azerbaijan under this November 9 agreement that Putin, Aliyev, and Pashinyan signed. So there was this narrow corridor, and then they blocked it. They blocked it under the falsest of pretenses. There's an episode of our show, Armed Comedy, that was known in Nagorno-Karabakh, and the latest episode talks about just that. They blocked it under the false pretenses of being environmentalists, let alone its hilarious.
Oh, gosh.
Azerbaijan.
Like that.
Have an NGO.
Endangered deer or something? Can't.
Yes, but there is one specific video which, if you listen to this podcast, I would want you to go and look for. It's in that episode of Armed Comedy. Is this woman? I mean, if you were writing a comedy, a very grotesque one, you wouldn't write it as peculiar. So there's this woman wearing a fur coat. She is an environmentalist, and she's holding a dove, and she said, "We don't want anything with Armenians, we just want peace." And she's holding the dove so tight, she strangles it. And when the moment she tries to release it for the dove to fly away, it just falls down. Because
no way! It falls to the ground.
I insist you go and watch that episode. So anyway, I don't think any director, any screenwriter would put this together, but this is what happened. And this was the pretense under for them to block the corridor. It lasted for a couple of months, and then just the military came and shot it down. And this so-called fake environmentalist, many of whom actually were later recognized as their KGB agents. Sure. It was all sort of now closed. And
so when was so I see what you're saying. So at one point, the land was bigger. When did it shrink down to the size where only that one road connected it to Armenia? What year was that?
In November 9, 2020. When this
So that was 2020 on. So for the last 3 years, did it feel like at any point? For the last 3 years, did it feel like at any point this would be coming, that they would be blocking this road?
There wasn't any talk about, nobody just could have foreseen that it could be blocked because, you had Russia there, right? And now that you say they are a little preoccupied, that became, really, if you go back 10 months, that was about, they were maybe a couple of months into the war when that happened, few months into the war. And yes, sort of, there was no real political will to keep that agreement going on. Basically, whatever the Azerbaijanis did, they kind of agreed. And even during this last skirmish on September 19th, when I said that the army was fighting very bravely, despite of being starved and strained, six Russian peacekeepers were killed by Azerbaijan. So Russia has been known to start wars for much less than that.
Yeah.
But all it took to make it go away was Ilham Aliyev just saying, I'm sorry, I'll pay their families. And Kremlin seemed to have no problem with that.
The president of Azerbaijan did this?
Yeah, he apologized that he killed six Russian peacekeepers, one of whom was a colonel, a very important person, and just apologized.
And that's it. I was trying to figure this out because I know that Azerbaijan now has a lot of oil and they have the oil pipelines and that seems to have made them rich and more powerful, but it doesn't seem like the oil pipelines go through Artsakh. Like, I don't understand why it's so important for them to take Artsakh. It doesn't seem strategic, really.
But it's the point for them because it's been their sort of main political goal for 30 years, from father to son. Of course, it's land. Anybody would like to expand. But the thing about oil and gas, it's more about natural gas these days, that they go so unpunished. And Europe sort of takes this very evident dictator for granted, is basically what's happening now is Russia cannot export gas to Europe anymore. So what Russia does, and it's been talked about in the European Parliament and some discoveries were made on this, very important investigations, is Azerbaijan became this country that repackages Russian gas and then exports it to Europe as Azerbaijani gas. And why are we so insistent on this? Because Azerbaijan's gas production rate wasn't enough to sustain the needs of Azerbaijan all these years.
Oh.
So Azerbaijan would buy natural gas from Russia to cover its own requirements, let alone any exports. So all of a sudden, within 1 year, after the Ukrainian war started, Azerbaijan not only covers all its needs, but also sells it to Hungary and other European states. So, and Europe is just keeping the blind eye. Well, okay, technically we're not buying from Russians. We'll just keep our eyes closed and pretend it's not Russian gas.
Wow. So they're laundering gas. Yeah. Russia is. And then everybody's, this is amazing. And then that way, if these European countries can say like, oh, there are people can still, whatever, turn on their stove at night and through the winter. Wow.
That's how Russia hasn't gone broke with all the sanctions and everything. They still.
Yeah. And it's all, and we're talking only about year one. Of course, and it's planned that the level of these exports would only grow and grow. So come next year, come the year after that, Europe will be more and more dependent on.
But they do. Azerbaijan does have a lot of oil, right? I mean, that is why the world puts up with them.
It's all BP, British Petroleum controlled. I don't think any of the oil goes through that. It's just the BP coming and
Yeah.
harvesting the oil.
And what about the because, you know, I mean, last time we spoke of there's NATO, which is like the big one. But then there's also the CSTO. I don't know if we spoke to you about that or maybe someone in Belarus, yes, but
did.
The CSTO is like the other version of NATO, which includes Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Russia, and Tajikistan. With the idea being that if any one of your lands gets attacked, everyone jumps in to defend. Where are the other countries right now in that group?
So for you to understand this more clearly, most of the countries you mentioned, basically all the stands, have much closer ties with Azerbaijan, who is not part of the CSTO, rather than they have with Armenia. And so does Belarus, because Lukashenko and Ilham are close friends.
Yep.
So, and sort of Russia, Putin was the only one maintaining this balance. But this is not even hypothetical anymore. The attack on Armenia's land happened last September, and CSTO did nothing. When we formally applied, they said, well, it's not the proper way to apply. Sort of all this bureaucracy started, and everyone said, we'll try to figure this out internally, and nothing happened. Azerbaijan still stands on Armenian sovereign territory as a result of that attacks, and CSTO is not doing anything about it, so it's not even theoretical anymore. So now Prime Minister Pashinyan of Armenia, he sort of says, I'm unhappy with CSTO and maybe I'll go shopping to NATO, which obviously makes the Russians mad. But also from the point of view of a rational sort of person, the NATO or none of the European countries or Western countries have not offered anything to Armenia, let alone a NATO. We're not even talking about NATO or EU membership. Nothing sustainable was offered. So sort of to leave one security system and go jump into the unknown is very unreasonable. You know, it's just a dumb thing to do. But that's apparently what they're going want to do. Pashinyan went and met Zelensky. His wife was at a summit where she took a photo with Zelensky's wife. So all these sort of things are happening that make Putin mad. But don't believe anything. It's not that you have a selfie with Zelensky, somebody dumps $1 billion on you immediately. Yeah. So he's just, you know, trying to shop around and
trying to make him jealous.
Know, responsible people, reasonable people are saying, what the hell are you doing? All the meanwhile, we talked about this in one of the last episodes of the show. Meanwhile, you think Putin is very mad because the Russian foreign ministry is sort of very unhappy with Pashinyan and they've been expressing it. But Putin himself was having a speech at this conference just a couple of days ago, and he spoke so good of Pashinyan as if they're best friends, and everyone is just surprised, like, you would be mad. This guy just took a photo with Zelensky, but Putin seemed to be happy. So I don't know what kind of a twist.
What is going on?
All I know is we have 100,000 people right now in the country who have nowhere to live. We lost Artsakh. We are the territory of Armenia is under threat because the grip of Turkey, and make no mistake, every time we're talking about Azerbaijan and this dictator, we're really talking about Turkey.
Yes, Turkey is funding the whole thing. That's because of the oil, right? Baker, and the gas.
It's the big picture. Sort of Erdogan is the guy sort of to negotiate between Europe, US, and Russia, all this.
They're also a NATO
power play.
Yeah.
So he's playing both ways. And also, it's NATO's headquarter, really, in the region. It's the biggest country with the biggest military base. So when you are talking NATO, you're really talking Turkey. And Turkey is Armenia's sworn enemy since...
Right, going back to the genocide, I mean.
Forever, yes.
Yeah. It's been a...
Probably before then.
Before that, I mean, they're not going to... Yeah.
I really don't see any kernel of logic with really wanting to go to NATO, because that would really mean that all of your security is now controlled by Turkey.
Yeah.
It's not going to be controlled from Washington or Paris or Norway. I don't know. It's Turkey.
I have one question. The fighting in Artsakh was done, like you said, the president of Armenia didn't send troops in, right? So those are just separate troops. Like, whose command are they under?
Artsakh's own army.
Artsakh's own army. And yeah, so what was his rationale for not sending troops in? He didn't.
Well, first it was blocked. Like, you would have to kill all the Russian peacekeepers just to pass them.
Oh.
And the bigger rationale is he doesn't want to get involved. Even back when the border was not closed, we had Armenian troops there, and he slowly was pulling them out. So at this point, there was no Republic of Armenia troops there, but they were Artsakh's Armenian troops there who lived there.
A popular decision with Armenian people to pull out?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But again, even such an obviously dumb thing, there was still a group of people who were kind of maybe finding some solace, something good in the fact that their children would not go into this war territory. They would come to Armenia, which is relatively safer now. Maybe there was that. But of course, with the agreement that is signed in 2020, it didn't seem feasible that any Armenian troops would stay there for much longer.
I have to be honest. I thought that that Artsakh was part of Armenia, but it was kind of its own separate. Would you call it a country?
It was second Armenian state. It has president. It has constitution. Had its elections, and it wasn't part of Armenia in a sense, like legally. But the citizens of Artsakh had an Armenian passport. They are Armenian citizens just as much as I am. Their currency was Armenian dram, the same currency we have here, sort of. It wasn't entirely integrated, just for the sake of the negotiations to continue.
I see.
So, yes, we could have unilaterally recognized it, but then what was there to negotiate about, right? That was the tactics that every president before Nikol Pashinyan has taken. And when he came into power, he said he would continue the same logic. So, that lasted for maybe a year or more. And then after that, he said, I'm starting the negotiations from my own page. That's his exact words. And ever since then, it's been down the spiral.
And so I guess it's similar to what you would consider what Puerto Rico might be. Do you think, Kaplan, the United States?
There is nothing to really compare with, because these are very unique situations. But
sure,
yeah, they had troops.
They had dollar, right? They are citizens. Yes. I don't know to which extent. I'm really not an expert on that.
Were they supposed to have like a troop? So those were considered, they're considered separatists because they're not.
They have their own military?
The people there?
Well, I think Azerbaijan would consider them that way. But no, nobody besides them did.
And do you think take a look at the T-shirt? Oh, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to ask what happened, because it seems like from the research I was doing, I was trying to figure out why the United States did not get involved. And it seems like a few things. One is that we're preoccupied with other things, right? With Ukraine and everything. Mm-hmm. And then also because of the Armenia's previous relationship with Iran and Russia, but that seems to have fallen apart, right? It seems like the relationship with Russia is not as good as it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's true. But also, let's say before the intervention into Ukraine, there was a different world order, and everyone's understanding was that Russia handles this region. So whenever a major problem occurred, we had a four-day war in 2016 as well. Russia was the one to mediate it. Mm. It would never reach president of the United States or France. Russia was the one to handle things here. After Ukraine, sort of things are changing. Maybe some There are interests to make, there are interests to expand, maybe to sort of lessen Russia's control. But then there is no one really to suggest instead of Russia besides Turkey. Turkey yes. seems to be the only alternative to Russia at this moment, just given the geographic location and your basic geography. That's right. The only other alternative, the only other well-armed big state in the region. So for many Armenians, it would be unacceptable to trade Russia for Turkey because of the history that we have with Turkey. But even so, nobody's even suggesting this switch with Turkey. It's very hypothetical that we're talking about. Nobody's being even specific about that. And in 2020, it was still Trump presidency.
Yep.
And Trump being Trump, he didn't get involved with all the details that much. And he literally said, Norwegian peacekeepers. We'll bring Norwegian peacekeepers. And nobody said, what the hell is he talking about?
Norwegian?
He
what
said,
region?
Who are? Norway was in no way informed that it would be.
He thinks Armenia is near Norway. He has no idea.
But basically, once again, in 2020, it was up to Russia to settle the crisis, which they did in a way with that terrible agreement of November 9. But then the Ukraine thing happened.
I think maybe this is a good time to take a break. Kaplan, what do you think? Where are we at? Oh, yeah, this is a good time. All right, yeah. So we take a break, and we'll be back with more of this in just a second. We are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is us. That is the Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton. And that is the Majoring in Everything podcast with Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy. We do our roundtable discussions doctors. All the time. Listen to all of their podcasts. And for this week, we'll also throw in Arm Comedy. Check them out. Is it YouTube? Or you can watch it on YouTube. You can listen on the podcast.
It's in YouTube. All the episodes are there. Just go to the channel Arm Comedy, and we have a playlist called English Episodes. So the latest one is the one I was mentioning earlier.
Brilliant. Oh, that's great. English language episodes. Check out all of our shows, everybody, and check out Arm Comedy. Kaplan, go ahead.
I was going to say, and if you want to advertise the correct map of Armenia, you give us $10 a month in Patreon, and you get the shirt. Which has the number one in Armenia map, correct map that we're discussing.
Yeah, Narek, he consulted on the drawing of our map when we did it. And we have the correct, the original, the God and everyone has blessed this map of Armenia. And so get that, $10 a month. We will mail you the shirt. No matter where you are in the world, we will mail it to you. And Kaplan, now a word from our local sponsors.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I wanted to ask, so what is going on with France? We, Kaplan and I had read that France is now, so basically this whole thing happened a few weeks ago. And as you said, Armenian people are now busy getting 100,000 people settled into a new country or their former country, getting them back into the country. And just in the last couple of weeks, France has kind of popped up and decided they're going to send weapons to Armenia. Is that right?
But again, let's be very realistic about this. This is just a statement. This is a statement of intent. There is nothing to substantiate that other than the words. So even if it goes super fast and just as proclaimed, it takes years. Even if it's like,
so it's not going to help the current situation at all.
Not at all. So what's happening now, all these forces of Turkey and Azerbaijan concentrated near our borders, we're in a situation when, you know, a war can break out tomorrow in a couple of weeks or not for another 2 years. It's very unstable, and our prime minister doesn't seem to be doing something serious about it. And I don't know. It's all very dire if you think about it. Mm.
You're saying you're not confident with French weapons that are gonna. They're always known as great military power.
The following, if there is political will from France to do this, to follow this through, and everything goes as smooth as it possibly can go, it's months and years. Mm. The deals like this, they don't happen. Okay, we decided to send the weapons, and tomorrow they're already shipped. It's not your Amazon to the border.
Right. I read that you also paid like $400 million. Russia owes you weapons, I guess? $400 million
they're never sent? I've read that too, that there is weapons still to be shipped. So it comes in sort of shipments, and now obviously they have the need for that.
Yeah,
weapons.
They're like, we're going to use these weapons. Sorry.
Which says your Amazon delivery may be running late. Yeah, and there is no Russia Prime subscription where
Amazon has a much better return policy. You're not getting that that $400 million back from Russia.
And instant shipping.
Yeah,
I have come up with a plan as we're talking here. If Trump wins the next election. Trump loves, for some reason, he loves the Kardashians.
Norwegian peacemakers are coming.
He loves the Kardashians. And Kim Kardashian has gone into his office and just gotten stuff done in the past. Because anyone who's beautiful, he's like blinded by beauty. He has a lawyer right now who's like a 10 out of 10. She's super hot. She's like the worst lawyer in America.
He's going to go to jail because he's got a hot lawyer.
Yeah, she keeps losing all of his trials, but she's very attractive. And
didn't she forget to file for a trial jury at one point?
Yes.
Like, so he's going to get a judge.
She forgot. So they have a judge jury right now instead of a full trial. A trial would be way better for him, but she forgot to ask for a trial for a jury. She just got one judge.
Is that the one who was singing a country song? Is that the one?
I think so, but she's like a 10. She's very attractive. So the Kardashians at the same level.
Totally 10.
Yeah. It's going to be his literal downfall is that he'll only hire hot chicks.
I got to respect that.
Yeah, I do too. To the death, to the prison.
Opportunity.
This is the plan. Maybe the Kardashians can get in there.
If you guys reelect Trump once again,
could happen.
Remember, he released
the end of Ukraine, really, because
it would.
He's not gonna convince Putin, right?
It would 100%.
Unless Ukrainian consents women to talk to him.
His two favorite people are Vladimir Putin and Kim Kardashian.
So unlikely duo, but still,
But yeah, she is Armenian, right? So
yes, of course.
So
he's been very vocal about these events. She's drawn a lot of attention to the situation in Artsakh, but unfortunately, it only can do so much. What it really takes is political will from Europe and from United States to sanction the hell out of Azerbaijan. There are so many things they can do. He has all these assets around the world. His children have all these assets. His boy, when he was only 11, he had mansions all registered under this offshore kind of shady stuff. So there's these assets they can freeze. So much property in London, in UK alone, they could totally stop Azerbaijan. It only takes like one vote to shut down the SWIFT system. So your Visa and MasterCard don't work anymore. So basically, and then there's been very good rehearsal of all that with Russia. Of course, they can bring these dictators down to.
But he's got oil.
Every time we're talking about Ilham Aliyev and Azerbaijan, we're really talking about Turkey and Erdogan behind them. And if you look at what Turkey's been doing, remember, Turkey is a valued NATO member, as this NATO secretary said. This valued NATO member started a war with Greece. They have been involved in Syria. They have been destroying Kurds.
Well, they're blocking Sweden. They're funding Swedish gangs. We learned last week.
With being a NATO member, but still, they are.
I said this last week. And I don't understand why you can't get kicked out of NATO. Are you, once you're in, you're in for life? Like, why can't we just vote Turkey out of NATO?
Because they're a strategic location, I guess, Turkey. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
But make that answer to your question.
Armenia. Make them the new strategic.
Chicken.
It's what?
They're too afraid of Turkey. The Europeans are chicken. Mm. Everyone's afraid of Erdogan. That's the truth. Everybody has more to gain and more to lose than to gain out of them. Because once they leave this monster alone, sort of without NATO and all this support, then it's on blues. Then it can do whatever it wants, and this is going to be second.
And they're a NATO member who we have never been able to get a comedian from Turkey on this podcast because they're so scared of Erdogan.
We literally can't get anyone to talk on record about Erdogan.
Yeah. And I think that somewhere in the world there should be like a democracy index based on your podcast.
Our podcast, exactly.
So I'm sure you wouldn't get anyone from Azerbaijan as you can get anyone from Turkey. But
how was the comedy scene there?
Someone from Belarus, right? If I'm not mistaken.
We have someone, but he had to flee Belarus.
Yeah. He had to flee the country, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're not helping them.
No, he didn't flee because of us.
Well, it was after coming on our podcast. But
That's true. Yeah. That's true. We should give us some credit.
That's one way to look at it.
And then India's involved as well. Is India now jumping
India's going to supply weapons?
It's basically what we're talking about is basically one article saying that, we are negotiating with India. That's as much as
that's how we research. We read one article.
But you don't know what it is. Maybe they truly are. Maybe it's just a tactic. Again, negotiate these, like the shortest this can be is like 2 years. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What about the relocation? So Armenia is 3 million people, roughly the size of the country.
Yes.
And now you have 100,000 to 150,000 new people coming in. That seems like a big percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Artsakh has a population of 125,000. Some portion of them were left here because of the blockade. They couldn't go back. These are students, people who were on business trip, visiting. So they were here all through these 10 months. And now everyone else came. And this raises a lot of, of course, if there was a solution to so that they could return to their home, that would be the perfect solution. But I don't think it's foreseeable anytime in the future. But they have all this history, all these customs, and even dialects that if we spread them around Armenia, these dialects and these cultural things will slowly die away. So some people are suggesting maybe to build like an entire city where this community will live. And because it sounds actually great, so they can integrate into Armenia, but with integration also comes loss of all these cultures. And I would hate for this language to go away. I would hate for their arts to stop existing. So these are ways. Of course, sadly, I think a big chunk of them will try to pursue other countries and will not stay in Armenia, because if nothing works out there, and Armenia is also under very serious threat. And imagine them living all these 10 months under threat, and basically for the 30 years, basically on this gunpowder, waiting for something to happen. Now, it's very understand. It's terrible, but I would understand that these people would move to a third country where they can no longer think of security again. So this is a very important, and it's just come into my life too. Like I think about security. I never thought about security living in Armenia. Of course, sometime maybe something happened, but it wasn't a part of your daily sort of routine, your thoughts. And now you cannot plan. There's like, we want to put together a stand-up show. You cannot plan a stand-up show anymore, because something like this happened, then you have to cancel, then sort of a whole chain of events. We're thinking about doing a sitcom. Again, this is something that takes months, and you cannot plan for weeks, let alone months. So this is all this sort of tension all the time, and it's only normal for people to try to escape that tension, because there's only so much tension you can take, and it's due to their tremendous patriotism that they have endured this blockade. They've been starved for 10 months. They stood in lines just to get a small piece of bread, and now all this continues, and now Armenia is under threat. Well, why wouldn't somebody decide to move to Russia, United States, or France, whatever?
Yeah.
It's terrible for Armenia. This is another wave of possible immigration that we just simply cannot afford.
Do you think that Azerbaijan is going to keep pushing? Is that what you mean by you can't plan, you're under threat? Like, this isn't the end? Because from reading internationally, it feels like this is the end of it. But you're saying maybe not?
No, that's never the end of it. So it's basically Turkish diplomacy. When your other party agrees to something, always ask for more. And it's something we've witnessed for centuries, and it's something we've witnessed just on this conflict alone. There was a Russian proposed settlement that Azerbaijan gets 5 regions and Armenia gets 2 regions and Artsakh. Sort of, it was 2010, and it was this moment when everybody thought, okay, probably Aliyev will sign, this sounds like a good deal. And he came to that meeting and everyone expected him to sign, but then he didn't. Then the same thing happened, I think, in 2013. Again, everyone thought this would be it, but then it wasn't. In 2020, they signed this agreement saying, okay, keep the Lachin corridor, keep Artsakh, and take the 7 regions. See, not 5, but now you take the 7. And people thought it would be the end of it. It wasn't.
Yes.
Now they're in the territory of Armenia, and now there are some enclaves. Both Armenia has enclaves in Azerbaijan and vice versa. Now that, I think, could be. Now they want some passage, like a corridor through Armenia. They want a sovereign corridor through the territory of a third state, which sounds absurd, but they've been talking about it so much that everyone now has heard of it. And it's like half of the job done. I'm talking about it here, which means that they've talked about it enough so that it became a subject of agenda. And that's so another possible
thing. Are you saying Azerbaijan wants a safe passage for them through your country, where they wouldn't have to
Armenia, but we, yeah, on the border of through the border of Armenia, which would not be controlled by the Armenian border.
They wouldn't need to show the passport to come into your country and then
leave.
That's insane.
Drugs or weapons and yeah. So, but that's something written nowhere. Nobody has really discussed it, but it's just them when they show weather forecasts on Azerbaijani TV, they show their sort of cities and then they say Yerevan temperature as if it's in their territory. These are the sort of
kind of soft power
overreaching things. Yeah, these are like they're always overreaching to get more and. With the current administration that we have, so far they've been agreeing to everything.
Is the fear that from your end that, I mean, in the past, Russia, as terrible as they are, was sort of a backstop against Turkey in this era. Now they're, you can't really count on them right now. So there's nobody.
Yeah, Russia understands that they want to switch them with Turkey. And Russia doesn't want to be switched by anyone. It wants to be the person in chief in the region. That's what the war
but
in
Turkey
Ukraine
wants
is
to be.
About.
Yeah,
we got to get Turkey out of NATO. For us.
Or let's get
them out
of campaign.
Every week we have a guest. The problem always comes down to the fact that Turkey's in NATO. That always comes down.
It does. Yeah. But maybe, I don't know, maybe there is a research that says that it's way more than dangerous unleashed.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. We have to, I'm going to hold a rally. I'm against it. So yeah. Get him out. Next week, turn is coming to that too.
That'll be Friday. Thursday, we do the Israel rally.
Thursday, we rally for Israel. Friday,
we'll get Turkey out of NATO. All right.
What other comedians are you getting thrown out of their country next week?
Yeah, exactly. Next week we'll probably do Israel. We might even do that later this week.
We're trying to get. We won't get you thrown out of Armenia though. We need you to be. Bigger than ever there. So when we come back with our TV show, we can do a triumphant return to Armenia.
I think
place to meet us number one.
Yeah, you've talked about Armenia so much, and thank you for bringing up Armenia time and again. But now you gotta come. I have to take you sightseeing.
Yes.
Have dinner with you guys. Thank you. Really, thank you for doing.
Of course, we would love to come. Yeah, we do need to put that together. And so now are any Armenians left in Artsakh region, or did everyone leave?
I think the last report it was 50 to 1,000.
Wow,
huge!
Okay. How many people live in the region overall, or in the before this all started?
120,000.
120,000.
Okay.
Yeah, 52,000. Yeah, so, well,
no, it's dead. And
the president would.
Go ahead, Cap.
No, I was going to say, do you think there'll be any repercussions for your president? I mean, you know, there've been protests, but I don't know when the election
there
is.
There were protests, but now, like I said, everyone's too busy trying to substitute what the state has to do. Sort of all these people trying to help. That's why there's less protests. And there is the tragedy of the situation is that at this point, there is no one who can truly lead any protests and opposition because everyone is just disliked by everyone. Mm. There is no one charismatic leader or a group of people who would inspire hope and who people would go after. So in this sort of, it's a choice between bad and possibly worse.
Kim Kardashian. Can she run?
Great minds think alike. I was about to say President Kim Kardashian.
The marketing genius that she is, she would probably turn things around much better than
she would actually she probably be
a lot
pretty
of fundraising
good.
From teenagers in America. From young people,
she would kill it.
She would create an app or something or crypto, and do something about it. Yeah.
Have you have you interacted with anyone who's come over from Artsakh personally?
I've talked to people. It's very hard to look them into eyes because you feel healed. And. Like you cannot even put yourself in their place. I don't know.
Are people finding, are they staying with relatives? Like, are they related to Like, would they even know people in Armenia, or is it so far away that it's?
Yeah, of course, some okay. of course some would, but not everyone. Yeah. And that's sort of the easy task to take your relatives, and there's just not enough buildings as such, because remember there was the huge immigrations of Russians when the Ukraine war started.
Yes. So sort of I all forgot about that.
The partners that you had were already busy by Russians who came last year or the year before that. So there's that. There's the sort of the state was not, although the Russians were only 40,000 who came. And now there's another 100,000 on top of that 40,000. So that's
almost a 10% increase. That's like an 8% increase in population over two or three years.
Yeah. Of course, it's not going to be easy, but things need to be taken care of dramatically fast. And in winter, and like no large scale construction, I think, is possible. It's very tough, but it's being left sort of a much of it is on shoulders of these NGOs, these volunteers, you know, just active, kind people who put together, they coordinate in groups. I have so many groups where my friends are interacting, helping to coordinate who moves to which state, so what do they need? Is it warm clothes or is it like hygiene supplies or food or whatever? And there are these groups that do this instead of the state.
Yeah. Is there any way for our audience to donate? Or do you know if places the best place to help?
Actually, if you give me a minute, I would recommend this one place. They've been gathering donations, and they put together, there was a number of, how you call it, these gyms, giant gyms, where they have beds and food supplies for a lot of people. I will say they are
like gymnasiums where people are coming and sleeping, and while they're
gymnasiums,
yep,
they're there. So if you go to it, smartarmenia.org/donate.
Okay. smartarmenia.org/donate, and that's the best place to go to help.
Yes, sort of. This is a group. This is a group of people that put together beds, put together clothes, and everything necessary. But this is very sort of temporary. You understand?
Sure.
These people ultimately need homes. But thank you for giving the opportunity to talk about this and cover this.
Of course. Thank you for doing the show. That is it. And everybody check out Arm Comedy as well. You can listen to the podcast. You can watch it on YouTube. Scroll down, find the English section for all the English language listeners. And Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
Yeah, it's been a pleasure seeing you again. Sorry for the circumstances, but in the meantime, let's get lost.
Get lost, everybody.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.